The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
The following program is sponsored by Ron Geyer Roofing.
The Bible describes events that will mark the last days or end times. 2 Timothy 3:1 says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." Matthew 24:44 tells us, "Therefore you must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour when you do not expect him." Bible teacher Ron Geyer leads us through scripture that will help us to remain strong in the Lord. End Time Insights with Bible teacher Ron Geyer starts now.
Good evening, everybody. Hallelujah. He is risen. And your response is, he is risen indeed. You know, that comes from the early church when they were persecuted everywhere. You know that. And so they would hold secret meetings. You know, the early church started not in a church building like we have, but just about all of them were, they met in people's homes. And so they would go, they had like a secret password, a secret knock. You'd knock on somebody's door and you would say, or the owner of the home would say, "He is risen." And if you were a believer, you would respond, "He is risen indeed." And that's how you got into the home. But anyway, happy Resurrection Day. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Jesus is risen. He is risen indeed. I have kind of an Easter lesson, kind of. I want to talk about, and I don't want to say Easter, resurrection. It's resurrection. We celebrate the risen Savior every single day. Today's lesson is going to be called Behold the Lamb, and I love it. John 1:29, "The next day John saw Jesus coming unto him and said, Behold the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world." And in John 1:36, I like this also, "And looking upon Jesus as he walked, John said, Behold the Lamb of God." So I found verse 36 first, right? Looking upon Jesus as he walked, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God." And I said, that's good. I'm going to use that. I'm going to open with that. And then I saw John 1:29. I go, ooh, that's really good too. So I thought that one's good. So I started with that one. Then I decided to use that one. I went back and forth. Finally, I said, let's just use them both. Hallelujah. They each make a different point, though. That's why I just didn't want to choose one over the other. And we'll talk about those points. But I chose to use them both to introduce to you the Lamb of God on this Resurrection Day weekend that reminds us of the coming to life again of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. And then there's this one in Revelation 13:8, "And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him," Jesus, "whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world." But I'm getting ahead of myself. So then, let's go back. John saw Jesus, right? And what do we know about John? We know that he was the forerunner of Christ. He was sent to herald the arrival of mankind's Messiah. I like saying that. He was sent to herald the arrival of mankind's Messiah. Yes, mankind needs a Messiah. Anyway, John, talking about himself in chapter 1, verse 23, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, as he said in the prophet Isaiah." Isaiah prophesied this, and John comes out and he starts speaking the word of God. Hallelujah. I love it. I love it. I love it. Don't forget now, though, into a wilderness. "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness." The nation of Israel, they had been 400 years without a word from the Lord. Then up pops John. Hallelujah. He truly was in a spiritual wilderness. Their dead religion was absent from any relationship with God. And if we only had the same passion that John had, I mean, he came out there and he was just really excellent. He hit the nail on the head. So let me go back to John 1:29. "John saw Jesus coming unto him and said, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." I'm going to break that down. That is so important. It is so telling. There could be no plainer message, right? The Jews, no word from God for 400 years, and then John pops up. Behold, another word for behold is wow. when you read Behold, it's wow. Because don't forget, the next day John saw Jesus coming unto him. And he goes, wow, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Hallelujah. A simple message that's still applicable today. I don't know how much the Jews understood what John said there in that to them. You know, John was great. He didn't tell them the Messiah was here. He didn't tell them their leader, their king was here. That would all be misconstrued. So he didn't tell them that. He didn't tell them what they wanted to hear. He told them what they needed to hear. When he heralded their Savior, he focused on their true need. He would immediately connect Jesus with their problem. What do you mean? Their problem. The Jews had a problem, and it wasn't Israel. It wasn't Rome. The Jews had a problem. It was their sin. John, once again, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. He just immediately skipped to the crux of the reason for Jesus coming. Before any accolades, before throwing down the red carpet in honor of His Majesty Jesus, before proclaiming the royalty that stood before them, he just focused on the reason Jesus came, to take their sin away. He got straight down to business. No pomp, no praise, no idol worship. Jesus is here now to take away your sin. In case there was any doubt, any denial, John told them, hey, you're all sinners. Jesus is here to take away that sin. You've been expecting him. Now he's here. Repent. Let him do what he came to do. We love John. It gets even better, though, when I love this. I don't know who all was at this revival. Remember, where was John? He was baptizing people in the water. And Jesus shows up. And so probably the people that were there were mostly Jews. That was their revival. There probably could have been some other people from other parts of the land there. But John announced his entrance into the world, Jesus' entrance into the world, that only the serious Jewish student of Scripture would understand. It probably went right over your head also. He didn't call him King of Kings. He didn't call him Lord of Lords, which he was. He introduced Christ to them as the Lamb of God. The rabbis should have been able to make that connection. That should have been enough. But for the next 3 years, Jesus would spend fruitless efforts banging his head against the wall, trying to convince the Jewish leaders, I have not been sent to lead you or to free you from Roman dominion, Roman tyranny. I have been sent to die for your sins. Behold, the Lamb of God, Jesus. Look at me. Just as God has provided the goat, remember, caught in the bushes for Abraham's offering when he took Isaac up there? Well, now God has provided a lamb for your sin. Revelation 13:8. All that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the Lamb's book of life, slain from the foundation of the world. Jesus was the sacrificial Lamb of God, slain from the foundation of the world. I mean, that goes back. The rabbis should have known that. They were doing Passover for hundreds of years, the sacrificial lamb, the Passover lamb. And here he is, John announces Jesus as the Lamb of God. God created man, and even before he created man, he made a place for him, the world. From the very first day, from the very first thought the Father had about his plan, he saw into eternity, and he knew what it would mean. He knew what it would cost him. I wonder if he and Jesus had a conversation about that. I can see the joy in Father's heart when he envisioned a life shared with humanity. We kind of got a glimpse of that when in the garden he and Adam would walk in the cool of the evening. We got a glimpse of that when he took Enoch, because Enoch walked with God and he pleased God. The joy of the Lord in his creation, doing what we're supposed to be doing, fellowshipping with him, obeying him, living for him. Hallelujah. I can see joy in God over that. Hallelujah. Living in a perfect playground, daily sharing intimate moments with humankind, his creation in the garden. I can see his anguish when he saw sin entered into humankind's world. Ouch. I can almost feel the pain when he witnessed the suffering that sin would bring upon the human race, his creation, his family, his children. But God, being God, being who he is, He found the perfect way to fix our sin problem, past the suffering. I can feel the joy in Jesus when he discovered that he would get to be our Messiah to bring us back into right standing with God. Behold the Lamb. That's what this resurrection weekend is all about. Beholding the Lamb. Wow, the Lamb. Wow, Jesus. You know, the Jews had no idea what they were looking at, what they were seeing. Sadly, they still don't. And you and me, how do we fit into this aspect of our salvation? What has the resurrection done for you and me? You know, we say we believe him, we accept him, we allow him lordship over our lives, but can we recognize that the Lamb's return is imminent? Are we like the Jews expecting him? Remember, the Jews were expecting a Messiah. They thought he was going to get a king, a political leader, a warrior. But they got all that and more in the spirit realm. Are we ready to meet him face to face? John 1:36. And looking upon Jesus as Jesus walked, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God." Are you beholding the Lamb of God? Are you seeing him as he is? John recognized Jesus. He knew who he was. Do we truly know him? Can we follow him where he leads? Have we learned the sound of his voice? You're going to need to know that when he calls us home during the rapture. Amen. He's going to shout for us. If you're not obeying that voice now, guess what? There's a good chance you're not going to obey him when he calls you home. Have we spent our time looking at him? Are we beholding him? Beholding him in God's word? Do we know he is coming? Are we walking in his steps here now? You know, you don't have to live in Israel to go back and walk the path that Jesus walked, where Christ walked. You know, you're ready for his return. You're supposed to be walking in these steps now. Did you know there are only 5 references to Christ, the Lamb, in the New Testament outside of the book of Revelation, where there are 27 references to Christ, the Lamb? You know, the Jews have no excuse. They needed to know who the Lamb was. Now, the Gentiles, we are the church when we have accepted the Lamb. But book of Revelation, people, we dispute about the church. When are we leaving in the rapture? When is it? Before tribulation? In the middle of tribulation? At the end of tribulation? If you truly understand what the tribulation is, you'll know we'll leave before then. Because 27 references to the Lamb, God uses the Lamb reference there because the book of Revelation is about the tribulation. It's about Satan's defeat. It's about the return of the king. And because Jews are the one who have rejected him, therefore God pointedly makes those 27 references to Christ so that the Jews would get the picture. Hey, he is your Messiah. I think that's so important. Yes, the Lamb of God is God's Messiah for his Jewish children. But notice, this Jewish Lamb just didn't come for the Jews. He came for our sin too, to take away the sin of the world. That's us. Behold the Lamb of God. We are to be looking at and looking to and looking for the Lamb of God. Hebrews 12:2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. That's what I said before. It wasn't that Jesus had to go to the cross. He got to go to the cross. Let me read it again. Looking unto Jesus. You need to be looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Your faith, it's got a starting point and it's got an ending point. What is the ending point of your faith? It's the salvation of your soul. Anyway, Jesus, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. God just didn't say, Jesus, you got to go die. But he set something. The carrot he was dangling for Jesus was the joy that he and the Father would have restored fellowship with his creation. Us. Hallelujah. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. You'll find Christ in his word right there. You'll find him right there. In his word, in the written word, you'll find Christ in his people. I love that. I love seeing Jesus in people. I really do. We go out to dinner with some friends, and I'll name them. They're Drew and Regina. I love their generosity. not just because they'll pay for a meal, but just the way they help our other friends all the time. Good, good Christian folks. They're not rich, but I love the way they work hard, they handle their money, and they're generous with it. Generosity. I'm not talking about giving $1 million to these prosperity preachers. I'm talking about working and helping with the body of Christ to help meet needs. I find that quite admirable. I love it. I love it. I love it. So you'll find Jesus in his word, and you'll find him in his people. You'll find him in his creation, the earth, the glory. The heavens declare the glory of God. Hallelujah. You'll find him in our sufferings. He runs to be with us when we are suffering for his sake. You're going to find him in your defeats, guys. Yes, you're going to find him in your persecutions, your pain, in your disappointments. You'll find him in your praise. He inhabits the praises of his people. Yes, you'll even find him in your sin. Ouch. That means you got to go to the cross, saints. But he's there. The point is, he isn't hiding. We are. Are we truly looking at him and for him and to him? Do we know how to live with him? Titus 2:13. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Are you looking for that blessed hope? Are you looking for him? He's in your hopes as well, saints. We can't quit. We mustn't look back, go back, or drop back in our race towards salvation. We must endure the same things that Jesus did. Matthew 24:44 in the expanded version. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at a time, an hour, when you don't expect him. Folks, that's not a suggestion. This is a sovereign command of a sovereign Lord Jesus Christ to his children. You must be ready. Make it personal. I must be ready. Why? Because he's not returning when we think he is, but he is returning when we think he isn't. Behold the Lamb. I was taught that another word for behold was wow. And I love that. Now, when I read the Bible, every time I read the Bible, I take out the word behold and I put in wow. I like it. It brings it alive to me. The church at Ephesus, they lost its wow about Jesus. Revelation 2:4. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Jesus was hurt. Jesus was wounded. Jesus was angry. He was concerned for the saints at Ephesus' safety, their future. He was stern in his warning, knowing where their desertion of him would lead them. I was once your priority, said the Lord. I was your first love. I was your number one priority. You have left that. You have left me. You have abandoned me. You have let your love slip from me through your fingers. Your love for me slipped right through your fingers. You are now ignoring me. But thank God, hallelujah, he is Jesus, and he will fight for us. Amen. Hallelujah. He points out their behavior. He points out to them their sin, their neglect. And then he offers them a solution. I love it. I love the book of Revelation. I love the Revelation chapters 2 and 3 where he talks to the seven churches. If you read it, you'll notice there's a pattern there. First, he will point out what they're doing well. Then he will point out where they're missing it. And then he will offer a solution. He offers grace to where they're missing it. And he makes them a promise that if they will take his advice, if they will overcome, if they will endure, this is the promise that I have waiting for you. Very interesting, and I love it. It's just, you see so much of God's love in that. But yes, back to Ephesians. He is Jesus, and he will fight for them. He points out their behavior, and then he offers them a solution. And it's fitting that on this resurrection weekend, this resurrection day, we get to hear the corrective advice that Jesus gave to the church at Ephesus on how they could resurrect their relationship with him. It's in Revelation 2, verse 5. Remember, he's talking to the church at Ephesus. What was their problem? They were doing good, right? They had proven the false apostles as false, and they were dealing with them. Remember, Paul wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4 that there was going to be false teachers there. There are going to be false apostles there. That Satan was coming as an angel of light to put ministers who would appear righteous in their pulpits. Well, congratulations to Timothy because he heeded Paul's advice and they took out those apostles who said they were apostles, but they were not apostles. Well done, Timothy. Well done, Paul. I love it. Most of my time is spent warning the church about the dangers from what's false in it, in the pulpits. You know, I'm not worried about the world or the flesh or the devil. Our assault is from within, and it's an attack on the world of God from Satan himself. Okay, Revelation 2:5, I just drifted. Remember, therefore, he's going to tell them how to get back their first love. Remember, therefore, from whence you have fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto you quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. So Jesus is letting him know that, wow, I'm going to have to take your church away. When he says remove your candlestick, he's talking about removing the church. I go, wow, just that church, not the entire, just that church, okay? But he tells them something that's very interesting. Very first word, remember therefore. And therefore, so that you are drawing a conclusion from what he had just said. Remember therefore. Let's look at that word remember. Part of that word means grave. Grave? What has grave got to do with remembering? Sepulchre, tomb. And another part of the word remember in the Greek means statue or monument or memorial. What he's saying here, the meaning is clear. They understood it. The meaning here is that you are to not just remember in vague terms as activities in the past, but I want you to dig it up. I want you to get it out of the grave. I want you to resurrect what has become buried. And it's so fitting that we should talk about this on Resurrection Sunday. He goes, I want you to resurrect what you have let die, what you have buried. I want you to then brush it off, and I want you to put it on your mantle in a place of honor where you can see it and will not forget about it again. And of course, he's talking about, I want you to put this place back into your heart. I want you to resurrect the love that has become buried through distractions, through forgetfulness, through laziness, through busyness. How many of us are dealing with that in our own personal lives? You know, busy isn't always good. I love working. I love working, and I like being busy. But you can be busyness in a godly manner, or you can be busy in a worldly manner. And it's important that you know the difference, that you have your priorities straight. Here, Jesus is reminding them of their priorities. In essence, Jesus is offering them the opportunity to resurrect their first love. As we look deep within our souls, can we find anything that life might need to be resurrected in our own personal affairs? What has died? What have we let slip through our fingers? What are we ignoring that we shouldn't be ignoring? Is something dead in our hearts that needs to be resurrected? That it needs the resurrection life of God, the resurrection power of God? Well, Jesus has it for you. And then 2 Timothy 4:8, we'll close with this. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness with the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, the day of his return, and not to me only, but unto all of them that also love his appearing. Do you love his appearing? Are you looking for his return? Do you love him when he appears in the midst of your day, perhaps when you're doing something you shouldn't be doing? Do you love him then when he's chastising you, when you've read the Bible and there's a word that convicts you of a current sin? Do you love his appearing in your life in the middle of your failure? Are you beholding the Lamb? Are you looking for his appearing? Are you looking for Jesus? Are you still wowed by the presence of the Lord? You know, talk is cheap. Behold the Lamb. This Resurrection Sunday, will you look at him? Will you look to him? Will you look for him? Can you keep your mind focused on what's important, setting your affections on things above and not on things of this world? Can you endure the sufferings, the tribulations, the trials, and the hardships that you're going right now? Well, you can, but you must look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. You must keep his promises before you. my encouragement for you today is don't just think of resurrection as something in the future, something that only Jesus did. Resurrection life and resurrection for power is available to you every day in Jesus Christ.
Thank you for joining us for End Time Insights with Ron Guyer. Listen again next Sunday night at 8 on 100.7 The Word, where faith comes by hearing. You can also listen to the podcast of this program by going to kkht.com. If you would like to contact Ron, email him at gospelguy@comcast.net.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.